Thank you, prayer teams, as well. How you doing? Sweet. Good. Some people good. Y'all tired? Some people tired in here? That's honest, yes? Okay, good. Maybe woken by the power of the Holy Ghost and by His Word this morning. May it awaken, may it quicken, right? I think that's what King James says. May it quicken your spirits this morning. Amen. My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. Can you believe it's March? March 8th. The weather says it's more like the end of April. Hallelujah. Come on now. What is it right now? 57 degrees and climbing. Glory to God. Amen, right? The white demon is melting. Amen, amen. I can't believe it's already March. Today is actually International Women's Day. Come on, women. Woo! Hallelujah! Come on, right? Can I get three snaps for the Lord? Come on now. Work it. Work it for Jesus. Okay. That's enough. Okay. Thanks, Dad. Dad has spoken. All right. Yes, sir. It's a global day celebrating the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. It's pretty awesome. We have a person here on staff, and she's the creative and spiritual development director. And she has done some incredible things in just the last 4 years or so being on staff. And today's her birthday, and her name is Sarah Holzapfel, and so I'm proud of my wife. Amen. So they chose International Women's Day for your birthday. That's pretty awesome. Amen. You've done so much here at the church and in our own lives. I appreciate you. I hope you have an awesome birthday. I do feel bad for her, though. I told her this. You literally have 23 hours on a 24-hour day for your birthday. What a bummer, right? So you get an extra hour tomorrow somehow. I don't know. Last week was incredible, wasn't it? Man, if you weren't here, I'm telling you, I didn't preach. The Holy Spirit had other ways that He wanted to do things, and we were just being sensitive to what He was doing. We had a worship service with prayer and healing and testimonies, and it went on, and God was healing and setting people free. And there's all kinds of wonderful testimonies that day and later in the day and later in the week, and God was doing amazing things, and I believe that He's still doing it in God's Word. It says that Jesus healed instantaneously, but it also says that Jesus would speak and He said, you'd be healed this very hour. So I believe that God is still doing a work in a lot of you. Amen? Hold on to that. Just because you haven't received your miracle or your healing yet does not mean that it's not coming. You know, Jesus believes. Jesus died for such a thing. And you know what? God is sovereign. And whatever He chooses and however He chooses to do things here in this world, we're going to give Him praise and honor anyway. Right? When things are not good, things are good with Jesus. Right? We just have to hold on to His promises, and we have to hold on to our faith in Him and hold on to His Word. Amen? Last month was amazing as well at First Open Bible. We praise God for His truth. See, we were all made to connect. We started connect groups. And I remember the very first week, the first 3 or 4 hours, we had like 30 people. And then our second time ever meeting, tonight will be the third time ever, second time ever meeting, we accounted for about 135 people that are connected to connect groups. Amen? See, we're meant to connect to God and to connect to others. But pain oftentimes will disconnect us. You know the time the devil attacks the greatest is when you seclude yourself? Have you ever seen, maybe on an African plane, what do lions or other animals that are going for prey, what do they do? They look for the sick, they look for the broken, and they look for the ones that are outside the pack. right? They're not. There's no lion that goes in the middle of the pack. Why? Because that pack will beat them up no matter if they don't have sharp teeth or not. They don't even dare to do it. You won't see it happen. Because when it happens, they get right out of there because there's no way they're going to win. What do? Is they grab the ones behind, the ones secluded, the ones that are hurt or broken. And what's cool about sometimes what you see about the pack is the ones that are hurting or broken, they'll surround the pack. The pack will surround that person and protect them or that animal. I want you to know that the enemy in your sickness and your hurt and your pain, although you want to be disconnected, God says connect, because there's protection in the connection. Come on now. That was from the Lord. I don't write that down. There's connection. There's protection. See, I told you it was God, and now it's me. There's protection in the connection. There really is. God designed it that way. God has designed for all of us to be connected. So I don't know. Pain is inevitable. Welcome to a broken world with broken bodies. If you think accepting Jesus is going to make you immune to all those things, you have not read your word. It does not make you immune, but it does give you an answer. It does give you hope. It does give you strength in the midst, in the midst, in the midst. Pain's inevitable, but the message you believe in your pain is not. You do not have to believe what that pain says. You don't. Some of us choose to medicate our pain or motivate it or meditate on our pain. Or you can choose to give it to God, and he will change the message in your pain. He will heal you. He will set you free, even in the midst of the circumstance. And if the circumstance didn't even change at all, because God doesn't always change the situation. If you don't believe that, read the book of Job. Y'all think you got it bad, right? I think I got it bad. But if you let God, he will always, church, say always. He will always change you in the situation. He will always change you. Praise the Lord for that, amen? Pain hurts, God heals. Let God change the message of your pain. The only way to live the way God wants you to live is to know the truth and to live in the truth. The truth changes lives. Of course, not all truth is life-changing. For example, an ostrich's eye is bigger than its brain. The average person falls asleep in 7 minutes, right? We average that. My wife falls asleep in 1 minute. I fall asleep in 30 minutes. So somehow there's an average, right? It's incredible. Every night I'm like, how did, what? Average. Remember? Top, bottom, average. The longest recorded flight of a chicken is 13 seconds. Oh, right. Oh, it was 12. Come on, we need 13 over here, right? More people are killed annually by donkeys than die in air crashes. Now, this one's crazy. There's more vitamin C in a strawberry than there is in an orange. Y'all, look it up. Look it up. Say what? Neither one is allowed in here, please, because we don't have enough people to clean, okay? That's why we don't bring food. Amen. See, these truths are nothing more than trivia. This kind of truth won't change or transform your life unless you wanted vitamin C and you hate oranges. Praise God! Strawberries, right? Off the shelves today. Hy-Vee, you're welcome. See, these aren't going to change your life. These truths will not change or transform your life. But the right kind of truth can and will make a lasting difference and possibly an eternal one. An essential key of life is knowing what kind of truth to believe in and what truth to stand upon. Here's the truth. Oh, it's already up there. You were made for more. Put them on speaker. You need to. If we evaluate our lives, the truth we'll discover can change the way we live. See, truth is a basis for how and why we live. What you believe is truth is going to motivate you in what you do, how you think, and why you do what you do. What do you believe is the truth? Anyone can believe in anything. Everyone has faith. I said it last week. Atheists have faith. Faith to believe there's no faith. It's true. You had faith to sit down today and believe that that pew was going to hold you, right? We all have faith. A two-way street, you have faith that other cars aren't going to jump over and hit you head on. We have faith all the time. But what is truth? Here's the definition of truth. It says this. Something has to be, quote, in accordance with fact or reality, end quote. Well, isn't reality relative, Pastor? Can't we all just have a different reality and a different truth, and we can just live in them? You can believe in anything you want to believe in. You can base your life on anything you want to base your life upon, but at some point, you will have to set your feet on solid ground. Or what's going to happen to you is you're going to believe in the next truth that comes your way. The Bible says that you'll be tossed back and forth by the waves of the next truth that comes. The next thing that you believe, right? I pray you choose a foundation of truth that will help you live the way you were made to live. So many people settle for truth based on what someone else has told them is truth. Right? I believe that's truth because they told me it's truth. See, there's a lot of different religions out there. There's tons of philosophies on how to live life. There's a lot of different thought processes people have. Some people base their entire life purely on intellect and human reasoning, especially if you live in the Western culture. Right? Do you remember growing up, the only time anybody ever believes you're going to do or be anything is if your intelligence is above average, right? That is a Western mentality, just so you know. But today, church, I believe we were made for more. So I grew up in the Oregon public school system, and now you say, that's why. Okay. Okay. Oh, so many problems. See, from birth through high school, I was taught by our public schools. I clearly remember the strong push for humanism through human reasoning, human intellect, human philosophies, evolution, Darwinism. I remember in all of our science books, now if you go to public school, you'll remember this too, or anybody else who did, all of our science books, they start out with evolution is a theory, but always taught as truth. It was our systematic foundation in our secular school system, but yet still not proven. And guess what? Evolution itself is evolving. Let me give you an example. When I was a small child, I had a really hard time reading. Do you remember Hooked on Phonics? I had to take that because I was such a horrible... I used to cry and cry and get frustrated because my brain worked faster than what I could read, and I'm just all jumbled all the time, and I just get really stressed, and I could not read. I was an awful reader. My mom used to help me. If I'd read one page, she'd read one page to me. If I'd read two pages, she'd read two pages. That's how I got through grade school and junior high. Well, that was until I found dinosaur books and comic books. When I was young, the theory of dinosaurs is they came from lizards. But sometime during junior high for me, the theory changed, and scientific experts say dinosaurs now come from birds. See, it's always evolving. Do you remember that? You know what really changed it, and the whole world's like, oh, okay. It was Jurassic Park, the first movie in the early 90s. Everybody's like, oh, these came from birds. But before that, they were always lizards, and they died so many different ways, we don't know. See, what I believe? I believe they died in a thing called the flood. That's what I think. Job 40 and 39, some of my favorite books of the Bible, right? There's some cool stuff in there. You have to check that out. And 41. Why? Because theories are always ideas trying to explain a possible truth. This morning, I want to talk to you about a theory, a possible systematic foundation to base all of your life upon. I want to talk to you about a theory I heard at a very young age, and then later on in my life, it became my truth. But only when I searched it out for myself. So is it possible the theory of God's word is truth? Is it possible that human reasoning is not the only answer to all things? See, the Word of God says we don't walk just by sight, but we walk by what? Faith. But the world says you only walk by sight, and there is no faith, although their sight constantly is changing. Is it possible that you were made for more than just a humanistic philosophy? Let me stop for a moment, and I want to talk about science. Okay, who likes science in here? Raise your hand. Like in high school or now? Amen, good. Some of you are going to hate this next part, but the rest of you, you're going to love it. Okay, I love science. Science and math, those are my things. Guess what was it? I kind of told you before. Reading. Oh my goodness, reading. Oh, God has blessed me in the years, but God has given me strength in the reading. But let's talk about some science, amen? Science, what it means is knowledge. It deals with discovery while seeking laws and principles of our universe that are reliable and reputable. You find science by systematic observation, measurement, and experimentation. That's how you find science. I was taught at a very young age that science and the Bible cannot coexist because they're opposite of one another. I disagree with that now. As I've observed, measured, and experimented with the principles of the Bible on my own. The Bible actually precedes science. The Bible deals with revelation and inspiration, and they both come from God. God was before all things, created all things, and in him all things exist and hold together. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says this, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is above all things, and in him all things hold together." True science has its foundation in the knowledge of God. You won't read this in your textbooks, kids, right? Some of y'all listen. You won't read this in your textbooks. I didn't read this in my textbooks. I was not taught in our public schools system this, but there's a list of early scientists, right? Brains, people. See, we highlight these people that are now our scientists, but yet they were standing on the shoulders of the ones that went before them. These early scientists who believed in God, they believed in creation and they believed in the Bible, and this list is impressive. Here's just a few. Pasteur, Pascal, Kepler, Newton, Galileo, Ray, and Boyle, just to name a few. Some of y'all are like, oh, I remember that name. Look them up. These men went into their labs expecting to discover what God has already created and designed in his universe, and they did. Listen, people outside the Christian faith are still surprised to see scientific laws of the universe were revealed in the Bible centuries before science, quote unquote, discovered them. Here we go. Scientific laws of botany, that's plant science. Anthropology, study of humans. Zoology, study of animals. Astronomy, study of the stars and the planets. Geology, the study of the earth, are in the Bible. In 700 BC, 700 years before Jesus came. Now, if you're a Bible scholar, it's not exactly 700 years because you know that Jesus didn't come right when AD started, okay? Everyone believes that the earth was flat, right? You remember that? You get in that boat and you go too far, you just go, into space, and then I don't know where you go, right? That's what they believed for a really, really long time, but it was written in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, "He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth." 22 centuries later, in 1522, Magellan's expedition was credited with proving the world was indeed round. But the prophet Isaiah beat him to it about 2,000 years earlier. Isn't that cool? You want some more cool stuff? Okay, five people. The rest of y'all are going to go. Somebody else got to preach if you want to deal with reading, right? Okay, somebody else got to preach on that. Okay. The Bible proved that there were paths of currents in the seas and the oceans in Psalm chapter 8. Thousands of years earlier before we recognized that there were currents in the seas and the oceans, and that was found or created or discovered in the 1800s. Okay, it keeps going. The reliability of nature, Genesis 8:22. The circulation of the atmosphere, Ecclesiastes 1:6. The hydrological cycle in Isaiah 55:10. The weight of air, Job 28:24 and 25. The second law of thermodynamics, Psalm 102. 25 through 26, light before the sun, Psalm 74:16, the filtering of the ozone layer, Amos 9:6, the conducting path for lightning, Job 28:26, the knowledge of germs, Leviticus 13:1 through 6. Is that enough, church? There's more. I didn't write more, so I hope you don't want more. Church. Science was developed in the womb of a biblical worldview, not in a humanistic one. The truth is, a worldview based and shaped by the Bible will give you the absolute best foundation on which to live. Because you, church, you're made for more. Amen? More than words on a page, the Bible is actually a living entity with the power to change lives. If your life has been changed by the Word of God, I want you to say hallelujah like you love it. The word Bible comes from the Greek word ta biblia, which means the little books. Right? I got a little Bible here. Little books. The Bible is a single book, yes, but it's also a library of a collection of 66 books. The word testament means covenant, for the Bible is the story of God's covenant with his people from whom he loves and from whom he died for. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Scripture, a Latin word meaning the writings, were written as the Holy Spirit moved upon men. The process called inspiration resulted in the original manuscripts that were breathed into existence by divine initiative. The Apostle Paul says it like this in God's Word, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us what to do is right. There's 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. In the year 1250 AD, the books of the Bible were divided into chapters. Then 300 years later, they were divided into verses. From my studies, I think the reason why, you say, why is that? Okay? Because I would say, open to the middle and try to find this. That's why. It helps us read. It helps us memorize. It keeps us on track. It teaches us, right? If this was just one giant thing, just a conglomerate of just stuff written from God, it would be very hard to find, right? Hey, let's look at that scripture together. Hold on a second. Can you give me 10 minutes? Let me just find that for you, right? But if you know the chapter and the verse, that's why I believe that they did that. The exact process by which God inspired biblical writers was not a mechanical dictation. For every writer of the Bible displayed his own personality and his individuality. Moses, he was stern. David was poetic. John was tender. And Paul was authoritative. The Bible does not merely contain the Word of God, but the Bible is the Word of God. Let me say that again. This does not just merely contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. What is God saying? Read it. He's talking. This is His Word. Is the Word of God, by God, and His direct involvement, by the in-breathing of His words into the writer. God gave more than ideas and thoughts to biblical writers. He gave them words. You ever had a word of knowledge? Raise your hand. Keep it raised. You ever had a word of prophecy? You ever had prophecy? You ever had a word of wisdom? Raise your hand. Keep it raised. Right? So everyone with your hand raised, I want you to think about this. If you believe God can speak to you and give that word, you can believe that God gave men words too. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13 says this. But it was to us that God revealed the things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. So the Bible was written by almost 40 different people. Some of the writers were separated by more than 1,000 years. From Moses to the Apostle John. These writers not only lived in different times, but they also came from different walks of life. Some were fishermen, shepherds, royalty, priests, prophets, and princes. One was a royal cupbearer, and one was a tax collector, and one was a physician, and one was a religious zealot. They wrote in three different languages: Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. The circumstances were just as diverse as the writers were. Some were in battlefields, right? People fighting, it's writing down, right? God's speaking to me. Right? Battlefields, temples, deserts, cities, prisons, palaces. They wrote on mountaintops. They wrote in dungeons. They wrote in poverty and great wealth. See, it seems almost impossible that such different people could write the same book. That is truth. And that's the whole point. They can't. And they didn't. These writers, one would write history, and one would write theology, another poetry, another biography, another prophecy, and some even wrote personal letters to other people. They wrote while in Egypt, Palestine, Arabia, Syria, and Europe. And they were not afraid of the coronavirus. Hallelujah. Throw that in there. And no one ever called a meeting and said this: hey guys, let's get together and write this book. Okay? Right, remember, they're 1,000 years apart, some of them. No one on earth had a plan. There was no professional editor, and no one got paid to do this. The Bible took at least 1,600 years to write and spanned 60 generations of world history. Yet God was carefully watching over the process as this all unfolded. The Holy Spirit handpicked the people to do the writings. The Bible is unparalleled in literature because it came to us in the clothing of human language, but inspired by God's Spirit. Amen? The Bible is the world's best-selling book. I love this. I like facts. I like science. So this, I like this. Sermon's exciting for me, right? You know, God gives me sermons and I just preach them, and sometimes I'm like, oh, I really, really like this one. Thank you, Lord. This is cool. The Bible is the world's best-selling book. In fact, it's been the number one bestseller since the invention of the Gutenberg printing press. Do you know when that came out? I will definitely tell you. Come on, Tasha, right? Some people might know. We got some, right? Some other nerds in here that are excited about numbers and stuff, right? I'm excited. The Gutenberg printing press came out in 1436. So the Bible's been the best seller, number one seller, for 584 years and running, right? The Bible's been translated into more languages than any other book. The Bible's the most loved book of all time, but it is also the most hated as well. How could anyone oppose the Bible? God's word gives life and joy and peace. It provides hope, comfort, and freedom. It's God's wisdom of the ages to us. The Bible's the good news of Jesus. Yet, through the centuries, it's been in the crosshairs of Satan, the primary target for destruction and elimination. See, when the devil can't destroy it, let me tell you again here, devil. 584 years in running, and it's not going to stop. Number one selling book. So when the devil can't destroy it, what does he do? He calls upon critics to discredit it. That's what he does. Public school systems, humanistic worldviews, humanistic philosophies, pagan radical religions, secular scientists, and it goes on and on. The Bible has been burned and banned. It's been labeled hate speech. It's been attacked and annihilated. It's been outlawed and confiscated. Possessing the Bible or distributing the Bible has been a crime punishable by torture, and some places punishable by death. All around the world, great and horrific persecution has been centered around God's word. Yet, it still stands. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord remains forever. Isaiah 48. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Why am I saying all this, church? Because if you don't believe that the word of God is the inspired word from God to you, and if you don't consider it to be the real truth of life and love and the foundation to all that you believe and stand upon, then we have nowhere else to go. If you think the Bible is just another book, maybe at best a book about history, and you've sold yourself short, and guess what? I have nothing else to teach you. Right now, and maybe ever. But I believe you were made for more. The second most significant miracle in human history is the miracle of the Bible, the written word of God. See, this supersedes. It is greater than opening of blind eyes. It is greater than deaf ears hearing. It's greater than the reversing of cancer. It's greater than healing the disabled, the diseased, and it's greater than even raising the dead. God inspired men through the Holy Spirit to author and to ultimately bring together one book of writings of many men who had immensely different degrees of literacy and education. The major miracle is this: it's in the impossible. 66 books compiled together never contradict each other. That's a miracle. Some sentences I say, I contradict. In the middle of a sentence, doesn't even make sense. 66 books written in 1,600 years from almost 40 different people never contradicts itself. The storylines and the plots were woven together as though one author has wrote the entire thing himself. See, to the natural mind, this seems utterly impossible, but this is truth. The 66 books of the Bible blend together in a single harmonious whole, and they become God's word for all times and for all people. Here's the single most significant miracle in human history. The living word. God becoming man in a person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was actually God's thoughts to us, logos in the Greek, or Jesus was the living word to us. People like me who don't like to read, man, I wish I could have met Jesus because he could have just spoken. I didn't have to read it, right? You know what I'm saying? Oh, that's it. That's the word. That's the word. Woo! 1 John 1:1. In the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. John 1:14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The focus of every book in the Bible is God revealing his heart to us. And his heart, his living word, Jesus, brings unity to all the scriptures. What's the Old Testament talk about? What does the Old Testament point to? Jesus. Okay, what does the New Testament tell us about? And who does the Holy Spirit reveal to us? Amen. See, that time, you didn't have to go to Sunday school. Y'all got Jesus three times, y'all gold star, everybody. Nice work. Here's some cheesy puffs and a drink. Y'all make a craft now. Whatever happened to felt boards anyway? Okay, side. The living word. Why am I taking so much time to explain all of this? Because the Bible is more than just a book about history and possible future. The Bible is truth. God sent his spirit to inspire 40 people to write a book about his love for you. No, let me make that personal. Will you look at me for a second? God sent his spirit to inspire almost 40 different people to write in a book about God's love for you. I don't think we hold on to this as much as we think we should. Because you can go to the Bible bookstore and you can buy like 10 of them. But you go across the world, you can't find a Bible anywhere, and people smuggling it in and people ripping pages out, people are keeping it and they're holding on to it because it's precious. God's word is alive and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God's word, it will go out and do exactly what it's destined to do. God's word never returns void. God's word is truth. It's truth. I've read a lot of books, unfortunately. Oh, that's funny. Just joking. I've read a lot of books, especially with all the college I had to take, right? Forced me to read these books, right? And so I'm gonna tell you this. The best book that I've ever read is God's word. The most alive book I've ever read is God's word. The most I ever remember out of a book is God's word. Because this is written for me. And this is written for you because you were made for more. You were made for more. Now, I love reading books, right? If you're reading books about people of God's faith, I want you to read books of people who are dead. Okay? Here's the reason why. Because you know that their life, unless something's come up, you know that in their life, they really stuck to what they believed. A lot of times we read books of current people, and then all of a sudden they have this big fallout, and they have this big heresy, and you're like, what did I just read, right? And they're all scrambling, what's going on in my head and my spirit? See, read from men and women who are already past about things that have happened, and be stirred up in your faith, but don't let that be the only thing you read. Don't only listen to sermons on the internet, right? There is a sermon when you open this up. We want things fed to us when yet we are provided some food we can eat on our own. This tastes way better than somebody force-feeding you, right? Y'all remember being a baby? Nobody liked that squash. You know what's really gross when you're a baby? Those little hot dogs in that water? That's nasty. Like, I can't even look at that on the shelf, right? But when you grow up in the Lord, you can eat your own steak. Come on now. God sent his Spirit to inspire around 40 people to write a book about his love for you, spanning 1,600 years, to write from completely different men, and most of them never even met each other. Why would God do that? Because you were made for more. You were made to understand God's love for you, and it's written in here. Maybe you're new and you haven't read the Word very much, or maybe it's been a while. Open up to the book of John and read about God's love for you. Open up to all the Psalms. If you're struggling, read some stuff in there. If you want something strong and you need to know and you're like, man, I really got to pick up my bootstraps, right, and get to work, read James, right? If you want wisdom, go to Proverbs, right? And there's 31 of them, so you can actually pick whatever day today's, March 8th, read the 8th one if you want to. There's so much in God's word that you just open it up and he's just going to pour out to you. Ephesians, Colossians, right? Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, you want to read chapter 13. And don't just get stuck on those verses. Read before and after and really read what God's love is. Don't just read the stuff you find on a t-shirt, right? Get into God's word, right? If it's on a bumper sticker, read it before and after, right? Don't just do Philippians 4:13. What does 12 and, 14 say, right? Don't just get stuck in these things. Eat. Come on, church, eat. Y'all need to be strong. The enemy's out there, and he doesn't want you to be weak, and he doesn't want you falling off from the pack. He doesn't want you. Quit making excuses. I was a horrible reader, and I read God's word, and he reveals it to me. You can do it, and it will strengthen you. And there's no more just coming and eating from church on a Sunday morning. Teenagers, I hope you're listening. You can't just come on a Wednesday and expect Pastor Cody to feed you those nasty hot dogs, right? Y'all got to eat something. Get some spaghetti. Get some meat up in there, right? All we want is milk all the time. We want people to force feed us. This is not about having a bottle. This is an equipping ground. May you be equipped by the strength of God. If you can't read very much, read 3, 4, 5 verses. And what do? You don't just read it once. Read it and read it and read it. It's called regurgitate it, man. If you got to spit it up like a birdie and you got to eat it again like a cow, get some, a bunch of stomachs, man. And you just keep eating it, throwing it up, eating it, right? You just keep reading it. Keep reading it. Those analogies were weird, but I don't know. I was just flowing right there. Those are strange, but if you understand what I'm saying is a lot of times is this. We are Americans, and we like the easy way out, and we like things to be force-fed to us. We have this entitlement that is so ridiculous. I deserve all this. We don't deserve anything but hell. But you won't know what you get in Christ Jesus unless you read his word, right? And you come to church and see, this is supposed to build up. See, I need to hear God's word because it'll build up my faith. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. I got to hear it. Hey, maybe you need to go home and even if everybody's asleep, maybe you need to whisper it. Maybe you need to read it out loud. Maybe your mind don't just need to hear it. Maybe your ears need to hear it. Maybe you heard enough the rest of the week from whoever or whatever that you need to hear the promises of God, and that needs to come out of your mouth because a lot of other stuff's coming out that's not good. Amen? We got to eat, church. We got to eat. There's so many weak, feeble, right? We're walking around just dragging our feet because we got no energy because we haven't eaten anything. I'm just dragging. It's almost Sunday. Pastor, go and give me them nasty hot dogs. I can't wait. Right? But that's what? What if you didn't eat all week, physically, and you just waited till Sunday, and that's the only time you ever ate? God is not satisfied. You were made for more than just to spiritually eat on a Sunday or a Sunday night or a Wednesday. You need to eat. And let me tell you, it doesn't start with steak. Right, babies will choke on steak. Start with some milk. read a little bit. Read a little bit, you get stronger. God will start growing some teeth in you. What is teeth? I think that's trials and tribulation. Come on now. God's just flowing out of me. I don't even know what's happening right now. Come on. Multiple stomachs and a cow. What on earth? God also uses our personality, so that's part me, I think, in there. But trials and tribulations, when you hold on to the Word of God and you face those things, here comes another tooth. I'm going to be able to eat some more. I'm going to be able to chew a little bit stronger, right? And oh, come on. And a lot of times you feel in your life the devil's come and kicked your teeth out. But God is going to bring some more like a shark, right? Here comes another row. I'm going to hold on to the Word of God. And God's going to give me more teeth to dig in deeper. Maybe some of you feel like Job. And in your life, it feels like wave after wave after wave. The enemy is hitting you, hitting you, hitting you, and you just can't take anymore. But even Job, the closest ones to him, said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Thanks for the wisdom. You obviously haven't read Proverbs, have you? All right? Job's actually the first book of the Bible, so he definitely didn't. So anyway, the oldest, I should say. Genesis is the first, and messing things up right now. You feel like there's wave after wave after wave, and God is hitting you, and he's and you're getting hit by the enemy, and you feel like, where's God, where's God, where's God? Hold on to his word. Let it be a light unto your path. Be the salt of the earth, right? Don't lose your saltiness, right? Be what God has created you to be, but you will never, ever be strong if you don't know what God's word says to you. You just won't. I know you hear it in church a lot. Read your word, and you just, okay, cool, I'll do that later. I'm telling you, you cannot just ignore this. But you don't have to be discouraged by it either. Start small. Nobody starts hitting home runs. You got to hit a single. You got to hit a double. You got to get out like 30 times before you actually connect. Ooh, I just hit a triple, right? You have to step up in your life. Step up to the plate, church. Read God's word. And maybe you're not a good reader like I wasn't, and my mommy had to read to me. Maybe somebody's got to read to you. Okay. But don't let them just read to you. Read it for yourself too. Amen? God's word is so important. God told me this. See, we're starting a new series called Made for More. And he literally said, if they don't believe in my word, there's no other foundation to build on. Who cares what else you say? Who cares if you don't preach again until 2030? If they don't get this, they don't get anything. They don't understand. Jesus is the beginning of salvation, but the growing of your salvation is through his written word. Believe in the living word, and then get to the written word. Amen? Bless you. I think heaven heard that. My goodness. Bless you. Oh. Okay. That was an angel, if you didn't know. They're in the back row of the choir. You could tell. Okay. You get the joke later. Oh. Who gave me a mic? You were made to understand God's love, and it's in his word. His entire word is written to reconcile you back to him, to bring you back from your darkness into light. This whole thing was written for you because he loves you. He wants to set you free. There's an answer to every problem you have or will ever have. See, the Bible's not just another book. When you realize how incredible it is, how impossible it is, and how life-giving it is, there will be no more theories. This will be your truth. I'm going to close here. And though the Bible's a thousands of years old, right? Mine was printed recently, but what's written in here is thousands of years old. Still more relevant today than the evening news you're going to watch, tomorrow morning's newspaper, the Google search you probably did while I was preaching, or any book you can download. This is the foundation of truth. This is truth. If you're in the front row, I want you to look below you real quick. There's a Bible in every section. If you're in any other row, right in front of you, there's a Bible. Go ahead and grab it if you want. I didn't ask my elders, but I don't think they'll be mad at this. And if they will, we're going to have to talk about being an elder. Because they'll agree with me on this. That Bible right there, if you don't have a Bible at home, or maybe your Bible at home is a King James version and you're having a hard time reading it because, well, we don't talk like that anymore, or whatever it is, or you really want another Bible, or you know somebody who needs a Bible. This is an NLT Bible. So what it is it's a more modern written in language, but it is going back to the Greek and the Hebrew the best it can. And right now it is the growing fastest version of the Bible that you can buy, NLT. And here's what I want. If you need that Bible, right? Don't just hog it on the rows if you have much. If you need that Bible, you take it home. Take it home. I don't care if there's not a Bible in here. This is where I need my board to back me up. We will buy more Bibles. We have money in the bank. If there's anything that we need to buy more of, if it's Bibles, hallelujah. Right? If we got to turn these lights off one Sunday so we can give more Bibles out, praise God. Right? God just gave me an idea. Anyway, I just got an idea. That's super cool. I'll put that back there. Okay. File that away. But if all these Bibles are gone, we'll get more. I think we have a few backups, but really not many. We're going to have to order those. Sherry? No, she's downstairs teaching. Matt, tell Sherry for me. She's going to order more Bibles. Amen. But seriously, I want you to grab that Bible, and I want you to take it. If you need it, take it. Free. Okay? And if you know somebody who needs the Bible, take it. Give it to them. Free. Here's another thing. If you need more Bibles, call me this week, Monday through Thursday, 9 to 4. Okay? We will get you Bibles. It's life, and it's truth, and it's super important. Amen? Worship team, will you come up? I want to pray, and then I just want us to worship together as we go. Here's my challenge to you. Actually, I'm going to ask somebody. Give me a moment. Just come up there. Doug, what is one of your favorite books of the Bible in the New Testament? Bad answer. I need one. Your favorite. I know. I love them all, too. They're great. James. Amen. Awesome. Okay. James. Here's your challenge this week. Thank you. It was a good answer, but I needed more. You had me hanging on the edge there. Everybody, not a very long book. What I love about the book is it gets right to it, man. Like, oh, and you're like reading it, you're like, oh, I'm not as cool as I thought I was. And my wife's like, yeah, right? Oh, I should have said that out loud. God, you're supposed to talk to me in my mouth. Yeah. James, the book of James, it's toward the end of the Bible. Read it this week, will you? Okay, if you will, raise your hand. You raised your hand, you're now accountable to that. If you don't do it, enjoy the day of judgment. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Come on now. Let's pray. Father, we love you, we thank you. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the living Word of God. You are worthy. And God, just like we worship you, God, may we read your word and may it come alive and active. And may we realize how special your word is, how important it is, and what a miracle it is to our lives. Lord, and I pray for each and every person in here that reads the book of James. Ooh, I just sense there are a bunch of people going to read the book of James. And God, the Holy Spirit's going to put something upon your heart and you're going to get involved in this church. God is going to reveal things in his word about our involvement in the kingdom of God and the involvement of being in the local church. God, thank you for that, Lord. We may reveal things, set people free, and heal the sick, raise the dead, God, through your word. And when we are challenged by things in our life, may the word of God come out just like you, Jesus, walking those 40 days with the devil in the wilderness, and everything that came out of your mouth was the word of God. And it destroyed anything the enemy would say. Put him in his place, church. You can't put him in his place if you don't have the backing of what the Word of God says. Put him in his place. Devil, you're under our feet. And I thank you, Jesus, for that authority in you. Father, we love you. And as we go, I pray that you anoint us, that you heal us, God, that you set us free, strengthen us in all that we do, and may we celebrate in your word. And as we read the book of James, God, may you put a testimony upon our mouth so we go out and we speak your word to somebody else, especially somebody that might not know you or has fallen away from you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty name. God's children said, amen. Will you stand? We're going to sing one more song and then we're going to go.